All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 929 FM ESPN. You hear it.
Grizzlies.
Boy, were they active, busy on the first day of free agency yesterday, and particularly during that first hour of it, first 68 minutes of it, as Chris Harrington has noted and wrote about over the Daily Memphian. Drew Hill's written about it. So has DeMichael Cole. All of them have. And we're going to talk about it here on this show. Hope everybody's happy. Hope everybody's ready for July. Maybe it's all not done, the wheeling and dealing. We are full on roster spots here in Memphis. So if you're going to add another big, something's got to happen. That was the one thing that seemed like did not get addressed through a multitude of things that did. And right at the top of the list, obviously, Jaren Jackson Jr. And the Grizzlies agreeing to that five-year, $240 million renegotiation and extension. Round of applause, because Jaren had earned it, hadn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think he earned it.
And your boy, I'm going to be honest.
Can't rebound still, though. But
Don't take this as it's not a hater comment, but I'm just glad he ain't Supermax. You know what I'm saying? That you got him down here,
fair.
That you got him where you got him. Yeah. He had earned his money. There's no question about it. But in terms of trying to, sort of justify how much Jaren's getting pushed across the table here, if it had been Supermax, that's a completely different story. That said, and I don't know if you saw it, but John Morant was tweeting last night about all his homies getting paid. First day of free agency. And it was something that Jaren Jackson Jr. said in responding to him that I love to see. And frankly, like I said, this guy's earned it. I'm glad he's earned it here in Memphis. We'll talk about that because there was more. Obviously, Santi Aldama going to be back. There was that dog, Cam Spencer, went off the two-way. He's got himself a deal now. He's off that two-way, and he's got himself, a $4.5 million two-year deal, standard contract now, so good for that dog.
Yeah.
And I'm referring to how Zach Kleiman referred to him once we hit the offseason, those exit interviews. And then we had the surprise, didn't we?
Yeah.
Ty Jerome. You like that?
Yeah.
You like that last night?
Jerome?
Yeah. I remember when, who was it? Was it Morris Day? They used to say, Jerome.
Jerome,
with
yes.
the time. Do you remember that?
Yes,
now, me and
I
you
do.
Can talk
it's
about that. Reverend
right.
John would be looking like, what the hell are you talking about, old man? But Morris
Good
Day.
Reference there.
Used to call on Jerome all the time.
Every song almost.
Ty Jerome is a shooter.
Yes.
He's a point guard. And frankly, and smart people like Chris Harrington, who I listen to all the time, you should too, read as well, didn't think he was going to be available for teams like the Grizzlies because we didn't think we'd have enough money.
Yep.
Grizzlies pull off a fast one, get him. So there's a ton to talk about, not just with what all the things that the Grizzlies did, within an hour yesterday of free agency opening officially, but also the rest of the NBA. And my gosh, have we had a bombshell here just within the last hour, because Milwaukee, who it was kind of strange, you were wondering, why isn't Giannis asking for a trade? Milwaukee doesn't have much flexibility. They don't have really a way to change their team around him, and especially with Dame Lillard out, and give Giannis a reason to stay. Why, we thought this was a crossroads. Why does it appear that he's fine with staying? We found out, didn't we? They made a move, the move they made gave them some newfound flexibility. Boy, both were shockers.
Wild.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this one, this one's
this
big. We'll
news,
get to
yeah.
it. But Dame Lillard going to be waived, stretched and waived, and they're bringing in Miles Turner from the Indiana Pacers, who there you wondered, okay, Pacers going to sign him or not?
No.
Now, that shakes things up in the East quite a bit. So that one's come here within the last hour when I was prepared to come in here and wrap up everything that Houston did, everything that Denver did yesterday, and then try to figure out, of course, where do the Grizzlies now stand in the West after at least, one strong hour of moves that's filled you up roster-wise. If you're going to do anything else, and we talked about it, address that big, you're going to have to move off of something that's already on your roster. We expect more movement as well, because there's a report that at some point you got Cole Anthony's money. You've still got to get off of it to get this Jaren money paid, and that's expected to happen. We'll get to all that. Like I said, Rockets, man, getting Dorian Finney-Smith. Also added Clint Capella for some depth to put next to basically Steven Adams, who you're both going to kind of piece it together between the two of them and keep them both healthy. Kind of like it with what they've done, re-signing Jabari, make the big move to get KD. Denver got a little sneaky yesterday, brought back an old champ and a name they're familiar with, obviously. Knicks doing some things, bringing in Jordan Clarkson. So a ton to talk about. It's going to be you know, it was an overwhelming day just in terms of the movement yesterday, and we'll do our best to give you a good grasp of it all. Penny Hardaway adds another big to the roster. Now, that was some news that was made yesterday. He had talked about this, said he had some bodies coming down the pike. We know that the scholarship limit has gone up to 15 from 13, and so you had an opportunity maybe to add a body. Jason Munns had written about it over at the CA and correctly called it, said Penny's probably looking overseas, and there was an overseas answer, apparently 7'1" of an answer. We'll talk about Penny's addition, also his Two Cents podcast. We talked about it yesterday, dropped. He had Cal on as a part of that EYBL event. I got a chance to go through it. Sounds like you did too, Brad.
Yep.
A lot in there worth discussing. And, oh, by the way, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Yeah. For us baseball boys, he got his check.
Yeah.
About $1.2
million. That's today, huh? July 1st.
And he'll continue it through 2035. How about that?
Gosh, that is an insane deal.
1.193, basically for Bobby Bonilla in this deferred deal. He's been long gone from baseball, but those checks are still coming through for the Mets. Before we get to all that, and you can tell there's a lot, John's on a family trip. I think he's basically Clark Griswold right now, out on the trip. I think they're going to make their way through D.C. and everything else. What a better way to spend the four.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Which is also, if I'm not mistaken, John's birthday. If I haven't learned,
you're
I think
right.
I've learned
yes.
that about John
yes.
and being around him a decade plus now, that July 4th is his birthday.
Yep.
So great patriotic way to spend his time. We're going to give him that. We've got our man, Brad Carson, back on the ones and twos, program director, number one in the country.
I appreciate that.
And number one in your hearts. How, Brad, before we get to all of it, and we'll set up the show, how was your weekend? How was your time?
It was busy.
Always busy.
You know, I have my son, Jake, is going to be a senior, so we're trying to pack in the college visits.
Big time year.
And so there's a lot of things. He was injured. Yeah, my son plays baseball, so he's been injured for 3 months. So we're trying to also get back on that and then get a lot accomplished.
I saw him
summer.
Striking out folks that are committed and signed with Division I's. Is that true or false?
That is true.
Is that cap or no cap? That's no cap?
No cap, yeah.
Striking out Division I's.
Got a couple of D1 guys. But it was bittersweet, Jason, not just for that reason, but because – when you don't play and you take something away, it really, your kid, you know from having a son, when they're hurt and they can't play, it was nice to see him on the field.
That's awesome to see him back as a father,
nice to see
right?
him back.
And
yep.
see him getting back out there and striking folks out and have it all back and all out in front of him again.
I appreciate that.
Congrats to you and to Jake. I know it's been a long road back.
Good for Jake.
Want to make sure he got that respect.
Thank
burger,
you for
man.
The flowers there.
I'm
we
so
did see
happy
a Braves
back.
Game while we were gone.
Good.
First time I went to Atlanta and caught a Braves game real
man,
quick.
Between you going to a Braves game and a Cubs game this year, I've done a Cubs game this year. Sounded like John's going to do Nationals while he's up there. Boy, we're getting a lot of.
We're covering our baseball.
I think I saw Parrish at a Mets game here recently.
Oh,
so
yes.
we're slick having a little bit of a.
Little
baseball. We're all going to baseball here.
It is overwhelming.
We got you cards this week, as a matter of
cards,
fact. I've got my eye on
hey,
it.
Hey, we're getting close, Jason.
Split with y'all.
We're getting closer.
In the four last week.
We're getting close.
Split my
to
man
the
Jeff up there, and thankfully we were able to salvage the end of that series and split with y'all after you won the first two. Shut you out, didn't we?
You're slick good this year. Your Cubs, you know, they should be the winners in the Central if after all is said and done, don't you think?
If our pitching comes back around.
Drew Pomeranz has been pitching well for him.
Last I looked, he's still at 0.00 ERA.
Putting up zeros,
at
dude.
At 33, 34 years old?
Yes.
How about that?
It's
hometown
pretty
product,
crazy
Kyrie
out of the bullpen.
Product. How about that?
Yeah,
he's
it's
been fantastic.
Pretty impressive
sort of
for Drew.
Found renewed life with my Cubbies. So there's your baseball roundup.
I was driving, and I listened to your whole show yesterday, and there is an overwhelming amount of summer information, and you've done a really good job in the last 10 minutes of sort of laying this out.
Well, I appreciate that, boss, because y'all know
enjoyed the show.
Brad's the boss as well, so when he says that, it's not just coming from the producer role, it's coming from the boss role. So I will take that. I appreciate it. Anytime you want to put in for a raise and say the young man's doing really well, you go right ahead.
Give you
appreciate
all
it,
raise,
boss.
If I could.
Hey, 11:30 or so, we're going to get an expert on. His name's Anthony Sain. He'll tell us what he thinks about the Grizzlies' moves, how excited he is about the addition of Ty Jerome.
Yep.
Who Drew Hill writes is the, I didn't realize this, the first significant outside free agent with who the franchise has come to terms with since 2019.
Has it been that long? Was that Chandler?
Tyus Jones.
So Tyus was after Chandler Parsons, to bring him in. By the way, Tyus got $7 million on a one-year deal. The Magic stole it.
Happy for him. He's going to be reunited with Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
So, but
he's
how about
19.
It? Been 6 years since an outside free agent. Mm. Wow. I hadn't considered that. He wrote that over at DailyMiffian.com.
We'll talk about that with Anthony Sain from over at Bluff City Media about 11:30. At noon, we'll do the rundown like usual. Now, Brad, you were gone. I don't know if you were listening to this part. We had a story yesterday in the Respect Burgers portion of the show about the poop cruise and the 4,000 people that survived a Carnival cruise back in 2013. We brought it up because Netflix has got a special out about it. It just came out here in 2015.
Oh, I didn't hear this part.
John had watched it, and then I got a chance to watch. It's called The Poop Cruise. You can imagine what must have happened. We got another cruise story.
Oh, the dude who jumped off the boat to get the daughter?
5 years old.
Crazy.
She fell off the boat. Now, this was a Disney cruise. It just happened a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Brad just said it. Father goes in. But that's two cruise stories here in the last couple of days. And I've never been on a cruise.
I'm not a cruise guy. I've never done a cruise. I don't want to do
one. We'll get to that in rundown. We've got to talk about this father, this hero that jumped in after his daughter,
yes,
5 years old, goes in there. Now, how you get over the railing and all that and into the water, that scares me to death. They weren't at port yet.
No.
They were going back, it sounded like, to Fort Lauderdale. They were out in the middle of the ocean, and she's out there by herself. That dad reacted, goes in the water, and he's got to basically dog paddle, swim for 20 minutes before they can get to him. Now, that 20 minutes was quick in terms of the response.
Yeah.
I didn't intend to go into this too much. We got to get to Grizzlies.
No, it's good.
But imagine when you're in the water for those 20 minutes.
Crazy.
And that boat initially is still going away from you. As a father, you're trying to grab your little five-year-old who's hanging on and probably panicking. My Lord, I don't know. If between this and the poop cruise story, I don't know if I'll ever go on a cruise. Was discussing that with my wife last night. I mean, crazy stuff here with the cruises.
Before you go on, and we talk about the Grizzlies and we get Anthony on, how are you? Is everything good?
You know what?
I didn't ask about you.
I appreciate you asking. I realize that's something in radio I have a tendency to skip.
Yeah.
But it's natural.
We're interested
and everybody
in you.
Does it. You have to stop and smell the road. You saw. Lil' Chris had a good week last week, a couple of weeks ago over at Penny Camp. And so
I heard you talk about that with Jeff, by the way.
It's
really good on Friday.
Really, less about my kids' performance, but more about what Penny's kind of conjuring up. I was talking about with Bennett, who we got a chance to have on last week, and we've discussed it. How do you build in addition to deep runs in the NCAA tournament, big seasons? How do you grow new generations of Tigers fans?
Right.
Because Bennett and I have got kids that right now lean Grizz. Mm-hmm. To be honest,
it's
with
fair.
You. There's a star in town with Ja Morant. They've got their own, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. still on my kids' wall.
Yeah.
And so, how do you grow new generations of fans if you're not making runs to Sweet 16s? Well, you do it. Maybe one of the ways you can do it is through a basketball camp. What I've always thought is the money of those camps, whether it's college or the pros that are doing a camp for a day or two, is that they're money grabbers, right? And a lot of times it's just going through the routines. How much is your kid actually getting better? You're paying for a picture,
right?
Either with the coach or with the player
celebrity
of your choice,
coaches camp,
the player, whatever else.
Yes.
You're paying for that. And listen, for your kid to get stand that, you get that picture on the wall, it's probably worth it to a great deal of parents.
Sure.
How much is it helping them? I was blown away by how much they're pouring into the kids at that camp, how it wasn't a money grab.
Wow.
Although what you're spending for, it's pretty significant. It was up over $350 for it.
Yeah.
It was, as I said, worth every penny. We'll discuss that maybe off air at some point, but I'm at peace because much like you, I'm seeing my son get to enjoy what he loves right now. And it's and doing it at a pretty high level.
Well,
so it's fun.
And I meant to say, I listened Friday when you and Jeff talked about it. I know you talked about it with Bennett, but I was happy that they're pouring back into the community. You get your money's worth, but all these players are involved at an individual level.
That's what we didn't have at Finch's camps, were the players on those rosters conducting the actual drills.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Penny's got involved. That's what, and maybe many other schools do that, but there was just a Memphis experience to that I did not expect.
That's neat.
And again, think about it. These are 10, 11, 12-year-olds that are seeing one city, you know, one team up there on the walls and thinking, wow, this is fun. I want to be a Tiger. It's their own little special way of doing it.
Neat.
But what they're pouring into, it's definitely made it all worthwhile. There's no question about it.
Thank you.
Hey, 125 or so. We'll talk to Jason Fitz, of course, as well. We didn't get a chance to talk to him last week. From Yahoo Sports and Fox Sports Radio, obviously. We're going to ask him about that big Pittsburgh-Miami trade yesterday. I think Miami just unretired Darren Waller to replace Jonnu Smith. That happened today. And so plenty to discuss in the NFL. What's Pittsburgh's plan at all than what the Dolphins are doing on that side? We'll do that with Jason Fitz. So lots to get to, obviously. A ton to discuss. But here's what the Grizzlies got done yesterday. We'll reset it there. Renegotiation extension of Jaren Jackson Jr. that we talked about that'll have him signed up basically through the 28-29 season with a player option for 29-2030. That deal was reported at $240 million over five seasons. Reading from Chris Harrington's piece over the Daily Memphian, 3-year, $52.5 million extension for restricted free agent forward Santi Aldama. Now, these were items that we expected, right? That we talked about almost to the point that we'd considered it a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
That the good, you know, Zach Kleiman had said it was a priority to get Jaron renegotiated and extended. But Jaron too has to want to do that. And so all that said, we had sort of, you know, with the way this had been planned out, the way you had looked at the Grizzlies roster, it had appeared, and even in trading Marcus Smart, that the plan was to get this done this offseason. Hopefully you had Jaron ready to go. That all comes through yesterday, and so does the Santi Aldama deal. Grizzlies have made it clear they wanted both of those guys, and so those were not surprises. Maybe a little bit more of a surprise to some before we get to Ty Jerome, because yep, that was the big surprise. But Cam Spencer coming off of the two-way and then going to a two-year, $4.5 million contract there. A little bit, and Harrington was talking about this morning, different from the Vince's and the GG's. Those were four-year deals, whereas this one, just a two-year deal. But he comes on to the standard contract, $4.5 million. Some had thought, well, maybe you're going to use that contract, right, that fills you up now at 15. You were going to use that contract to get a big. Okay, you've still got guys you can move off of. I suppose Jay Huff, move a big to get a big. Jay Huff wasn't the physical presence it feels like you need, and you're especially going to need, it feels like, to start the year. Well, maybe the Grizzlies don't feel that way. Maybe something still shakes. But they add Cam Spencer to a standard deal, 2 years, $4.5 million. And then the surprise to some, because we thought maybe you'd be priced out of the market for a Ty Jerome. But you get him on a three-year, $28 million deal. He played for the Cavs last season. You use the entirety of the $8.8 million room exception, which is all the Grizzlies could offer in outside free agency, beyond minimum salary contracts. Again, reading from Chris Harrington over the Daily Memphian. Some had thought, smart people had thought, that Ty Jerome would be priced out, that you wouldn't be able to get him. And maybe also you use that room exception on a big. That said, you bring in a guy who clearly fits he kills two birds in a way. You needed shooting because you're moving off of Luke Kennard, and we'll get to the one-year deal he signed. What is that? I believe with Atlanta. And Desmond Bane being traded out. You needed shooting. And Ty Jerome certainly brings that. He also brings an ability, and some, and we've discussed this too, to handle backup point guard duties. We talked about it, you know. As much as we like Scottie Pippen Jr., who's also now on one of those standard contracts and been looked at by many of us as the backup point guard, turnovers had been an issue for him, and turnovers were an issue for the Grizzlies last season, and it's one of the areas you're looking to clean up. Well, Ty Jerome, between playing off ball and playing on ball, is one of those guys that can do a little bit of both, and you could see lineups with the two of them off the bench playing together, Scottie and Ty Jerome. So Brady's doing, he's hitting two things. He's hitting shooting, and he's hitting that backup ball handling that you could use, frankly. And some thought, frankly, the Grizz could use a lot. Now, whether they could use that more right now than a big that you're going to need to start the season, that's a whole different conversation. But you see the need for Ty Jerome. And, again, a lot to like here in terms of what he brings to the table, because between the shooting and between and keep in mind, this was a guy that finished third last year in sixth man of the year voting. Like, he really broke out last season for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And maybe, you know, maybe the numbers off the, on the surface don't surprise you. What was it, a little over 12, 13 points or whatever it was? The way he shot 42-43% from three, how efficient he was in the time he was out there, he earned himself some money, no question about it, this offseason. And so much so that you thought, well, maybe you're not going to be able to get him. Clearly, you needed ball handling and shooting, and they've addressed it with Ty Jerome. A little bit of a surprise, again, that they were able to get him. Overall, you happy with the pickup?
I'm happy with the pickup. I think he's as good as you could do given the structure of how much money you've got available.
That pretty much sums it up.
And that's the real caveat, because you're juggling with all of these rosters with the cap.
Yeah, and he fits a couple of needs again. It's not just a guy who's coming in who can just do one thing, is one-dimensional. He can play that backup point guard spot. He can play with Ja Morant when KCP is out. And so what it does is give you some depth. You feel a lot better about your backcourt depth with Ty Jerome. That said, again, here was a guy that by the end of the playoffs had sort of was being picked on defensively by Indiana. There were some, while defensively he's not a minus against Indiana, he didn't shoot the ball well, and they had sort of figured him out. And you wonder if this little bit of a discount that you got, right, being able to get him on this room exception, if it's because of the end of the year, yeah, the way it ended for him. He'd had an unbelievable season. Cleveland sort of picked Sam Merrill over Ty Jerome in terms of who they decided to pay, and he becomes available. Going to be useful for the Grizzlies, and clearly he's a big part of the rotation. But before I jump here and tell you, oh boy, just love the fit and love everything else. Let's see with what they do with adding a big.
That's right,
right? Because yeah, that it's still an area that you haven't addressed. And we thought, okay, well, maybe with some of this money you do it. Now, there's still ways to that, I suppose, but you're going to have to come off of something that's on the roster right now. Maybe, again, are you trading a big for a big with Jay Huff? Or what's left out there? But you've got to get some another body in there, it feels like, in your front court. But I like the moves. I'm interested to hear what our man Anthony Sane thinks. Again, you've shored up the back court, but there's still questions on that front court. I don't know how much more physical you are.
Right.
You know, I'm hoping for that with your draft pick with Cedric Coward and the way that he can hopefully play, and Zach Kleiman. I'm bringing this up because Zach Kleiman talked about wanting more dogs in here and to play physically. I'm not sure that Ty Jerome adds that. And if Scottie Pippen's not that, who's doing that off the bench for you, right? Who adds to that? You know, because when you look at OKC, your champion, you've got a roster of 6, 7, 8 guys that you can point to and say, okay, well, that guy's a dog. That guy's a dog. Does Ty Jerome come in here and defensively give you that sort of? Probably more for the shooting that's going out the door.
Yeah.
Can he sort of fit a grit and grind type mentality? We're never getting away from that, guys, whether you want to or not. It's what we know sells, and I'm not sure he hits that. Mm-hmm. But you needed the shooting. You loved him at this price. You had moderate flexibility, having to renegotiate and extend Jaren. So for what you had, I think the moves are pretty solid. Still would like to see the big addressed, but there are some ways you can get that done. You know, it's not going to be DeAndre Ayton.
No.
That's not happening, but maybe you can get something more than, you know, that can help you and give you an option rather than just starting Jaren Jackson Jr. and Brandon Clark to start the year. We've seen that before, and that doesn't lead to great offense necessarily for Ja Morant in terms of having that screen setter, that space eater. And so liked what the Grizzlies did. Lot to discuss. We'll talk about where it sort of lands them. There's new odds out after that first day of free agency. All of this movement about, you know, the West and how things stack up that I think will give us a little bit of a sort of a grand scheme of things view of where at least Vegas thinks the Grizzlies come down so far. Did you move forward after the Desmond Bane trade? I think that it's tough to make that case. Have you taken a step up since taking one back from the trade? That's where I think that I probably got more confidence there. But where does it leave you in a West that got even more competitive after yesterday in that first day of free agency? More movements happening. We're talking about, obviously, the Bucks moving on from Dame Lillard, going to bring in Miles Turner from Indiana. We'll get to all the latest when we get back. Also, Anthony Sane will discuss what he thought of the Grizzlies' moves yesterday. Again, some expected. Santi Jaren, the Ty Jerome move. What Anthony Sane thinks when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every day, 2 p.m. Make sure you're checking it out. Underground King of Memphis Sports Media, Tribal Chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist, founder of Asylum Media Group, and father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. You can follow Sane on X at Sane Asylum. He joins us on this day as we're breaking down that first day of free agency instead of Friday, which is July 4th, and we'll be celebrating our nation's independence, obviously, on that day. So we appreciate him and his flexibility. Sane, man, how you feeling today after that first hour and whatever minutes and change it was, hour and 8 minutes and all the action by the Grizzlies, man? How you feeling about the moves?
Oh man, I'm feeling good. Yesterday was week three of Memphis Magic Volleyball Institute's free volleyball clinics that we have for inner city young ladies here in the city of Memphis, man. And we do it every Monday from 4 to 5:30. So the last 30 minutes of our clinic was pretty eventful. I got hit by a couple volleyballs in the face trying to look at my Apple Watch notifications and check my phone in the middle of clinics. So it was a very eventful time yesterday around 5 o'clock at One Accord International where we had our clinic. But I'm very excited about the stuff the Grizzlies did on the first day of free agency, just to get things out of the way that you don't have to worry about down the line. Getting the Santi deal done, you know, in the first minutes. Getting Jaren's deal done the first day. The super surprising availability of Ty Jerome to grab him at the amount of money we got him for. Go ahead and taking care of the Cam Spencer things. Just leaving a lot of things that you thought may take a little longer before they get out. Getting those things done that early was definitely exciting for me as someone who's looking forward to this offseason.
How about let's start with Jaren. I don't want to dismiss and especially the way he responded to Ja, who was on social media. It's what he said. I thought that really kind of framed it for me. But Ja's talking about, hey, it's good to see my dogs getting paid. Obviously, you saw that. And Jaren said means more around here and used the M emoji, just saying, well, you know, it means more to be signing with Memphis. And Ja came back with the house, you know, emoji and the love. But it was Jaren that had said, yeah, man, because we're doing it here, right? What did that – I mean, did that stand out to you? And I guess – you know, when it's all said and done, man, I know many of us have criticized Jaren for what he isn't. Many folks like you have defended him at times that he should be defended. I mean, the guy's come through durability issues. How good did it feel to see him saying it means more because it's here at home at Memphis, the one place where I've been as a professional?
Yeah, man, it's great to see. When you talk, you think about the nonsense that's been said about this city, you know, in the last few weeks, some of the forced negative narratives that came out. To see a guy like Jaren who – I grew up in wealth, man. You know, this is a rich kid. Like, he's not some kid from the inner city. He grew up in wealth all his life, and he came to Memphis. He doesn't fit the quote-unquote, you know, Memphis player image at all. We came up with, you know, Zach Randolph here and those type of things. So Jaren's always going to be compared to those type of guys, but he's definitely not the type of guy that you would think would be a Memphis kid or would even like the city of Memphis just because of his background. And Jaren loves it here, man. He said that he's never said anything different than that. He gives back to the city. He's a humanitarian. He's a philanthropist for the city. And just to see him, because you remember this, man. I don't think you were particularly in the locker rooms like this, but Jaren's rookie year, man, he was literally a kid in the locker room.
Yeah,
he was like a child, literally. He was like he won a contest or something to be in the, you know, to be on the Grizzlies for a month or something like that. But it was like literally talking to a child in the locker room.
Yeah, he was silly. He was kind of silly.
Yeah. He was extremely like silly, bro. It was frustrating. Like he had serious maturity issues when he came into the league. Yeah. And we watched Jaren, you know, grow into a man. And there's still other levels to his life that we will probably see here because of the length of this contract. He might have children here. He might have a wife. He might, you know, start a business here. We're going to see Jaren under this contract until he's, you know, 29, 30 years old. So it's just – we haven't had many guys that we can even say that about in our franchise's history that we brought them in as rookies and we've seen them grow old here. You're talking about Mike Conley, maybe the only guy that we've done that with. And it's just good to see that with Jaren. It was a great moment between him and Ja. Just ending a lot of speculation. All the Vegas odds of, you know, what guys are going to be gone, what guys are going to be traded.
Yep.
Just to see that moment between those two guys whose interaction started with over, you know, a basket of chicken fingers in summer league. About 6 years ago. So it was just a great moment, man. And great to see Jaren back.
Couldn't agree more. How important was retaining Santi Aldama in your eyes, Sam?
I think it's extremely important. I think a lot of our fans were just super emotional about the whole Santi thing. There's not a planet where it made sense to just let Santi walk. That was not an option. Like, you don't have a guy that's that good. You just say, okay, well, just, you know, he got a 5-second call at the end of a play-in game, so – you know, he can roll. Like, let's just let him roll. He's solved for whatever. I think that whole narrative is done. If there were good sign-and-trade options out there available, I think something like that might have been done. Good sign-and-trades that benefit both teams but don't happen. The sign-and-trades you saw yesterday were basically salary dumps or just basically paper roll stuff. It wasn't actually good player for good player type stuff. You just don't see good sign-and-trades often in free agency. And you have to even if you're not totally sold on Santi, don't think he's going to fit, you have concerns about him, you have your doubts about what he can do, you still sign him, man. There's no other option other than signing him.
Yep.
And the sign him at an amount is just above what other teams can do in free agency as far as the mid-level exception. There's only one team with cap space. That was the Nets. They didn't show any interest in Santi. So to be able to sign him at an amount is just over the mid-level exception, just over the range anyone else could offer him. It was a smart move by the Grizzlies. You got him as a player. You got him as a contract, another movable contract. His old contract wasn't movable at all. Now you got him at a number. If you do want to move him at the deadline, it's a much easier contract to move. And Santi could have a good season. He's shown an upward trajectory every season outside of the year that everybody was hurt a few years ago, including himself. So I'm not really concerned about anybody who thinks that we shouldn't have brought him back. There's just a cloud of silliness just kind of over our fan base when it comes to reactions to a lot of stuff. So getting Santi at that number that you got him at, and then, you know, bringing Jaren back, that combination of retaining your own guys,
yep.
I think it was tremendous. And we didn't even get to Jaren thinking about just the amount of money we saved, because, like, I heard you guys talk about this earlier, not trying to hate on Jaren, but Jaren on the Supermax would have been a crippling
scary
amount of money.
Right. If you put it best, crippling is what it kind of is, yes.
If Jaren had to sign that contract this summer, the Desmond Bane deal wouldn't have done anything. Like, it wouldn't have been beneficial to us at all. We still would have been in salary cap hell, and you wouldn't be able to do anything. And of course, you could have – I'm sorry, it would have affected us next year and years to come. But this year, you would have been fine. But not having to worry about that this year and for five more years, because, you know, Jaren was still Supermax eligible this season. Mm-hmm. So with him not having to worry about those type of things. And then the contract, people wonder, why would Jaren do this deal now when he could get more next year? Doing the deal now gives him an immediate raise for this coming up season.
Right.
Puts him in the max contract. And plus, this year is year one of that five-year deal. So he'll have four more years, he'll be up for another contract. It's not like he has to go through next season, and then he signs this big deal next year for a max deal, and then has to wait, you know, five more years after that deal to get another one. Right. He'll be back up for a max deal at an even higher salary cap amount in 5 years.
Right.
There were definitely were advantages of him getting that done. You don't have the cloud over the season of what he's if he's going to leave as a free agent in the year. You don't have to deal with the rumors of trades and all these type of things.
Locked up, even though
you still can't trade Jaren. That's another thing, too, that people have to understand. At the amount that you signed Jaren to, just like Santi, it makes a Jaren trade make much more sense, because it opens up a whole nother tier of players that you could trade Jaren for if this season doesn't go well one way or another. So I'm excited about those two moves for sure.
Any issue with Cam Spencer coming on to the Standard? It's a 2-year deal, $4.5 million. I'm only asking in the sense that, you know, I guess could have addressed big there. You could have used that room exception for big. You used it on Ty Jerome, but Cam Spencer being converted, which is something I think a lot of – we knew Kleiman loved him. He called him a dog in the exit interviews and everything else, so many expected this. Any issue with it at all, Cam coming on to the Standard?
No. Okay. Solid guy, culture guy, brings that energy, brings that dog that Kleiman talked about. You're talking about a $2 million deal, not a big deal at all. Glad to have him on. Okay. It's an annual tradition always with the Grizzlies that guys who – As they find these guys in the draft that overperform, they usually reward them the next season. This is super early. They didn't do anybody this early in the past. It typically happened right before the season starts.
That's true.
But they went on and took care of Cam. Like I said, he definitely fits the new culture of what Zach Kleiman is trying to create here. So I'm not really messed up about that at all. And you're talking about Ty Jerome. I don't know if you have a separate question for that.
Go right ahead. I mean, you talked about it. We didn't expect to be able to get him on the room exception, right? We thought and you got a little bit of a discount here. Why do you think that was? Was it because of the series against the Pacers? Was it just maybe the market wasn't where we thought it was going to be on him? Obviously, as ESPN wrote, a coup for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, man. I think it's a lot of things. I think, the Grizzlies kind of mapped this out perfectly. I think that they knew – what teams had money? They had money as far as the mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. And they kind of knew, they read the tea leaves, and they kind of knew where guys were going, knew where guys wanted to go. And they played the smart hand. They said, let's see if we can get a guy like Ty Jerome on a discount, because these other teams have spent their MLE already. You only got one shot at it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that they used that type of strategy. And I just think they kind of let the market dry up just a little bit, let the Dorian Finney-Smiths of the world get out of the way, let the Nikhil Alexander Walkers get out of the way, and then a guy like Ty Jerome was right there waiting on you to get it. I still don't understand it, because it seems like somebody else would have gotten him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was a matter of, I mean, we rule these type of things out. How do we know that Ty Jerome didn't really want to be here? And he was willing to take that pay cut to be here. Like, we ruled that out as an option. But if he feels like, man, I really think the fit in Memphis kind of reminds me of my fit in Cleveland, maybe even a better role. Ja misses a lot of games.
Yeah.
They're losing not only Desmond Bane, they lost Luke Kennard. I could really be that dude on this team. I could be a true six-man of the year candidate maybe here. And, I'm teammates with Jay Huff, those type of things. You don't know, man. Like, you know, we don't know what could have been some of the reasons why he was fine with coming here. But I don't really ask that many questions. I'm super excited to bring a guy like that in, a guy who's third in the league in three-point percentage, third in the league in six-man of the year voting as well, a guy who can play make, play on or off the ball. Not a horrible defender, but not a good defender either. He'll be a better defender than Luke Kennard was. But a guy who is going to take and make threes at a high level, not afraid to take shots at all. He has an insane floater game. I really like this signing, Ty Jerome, man. And I know people are saying, well, we still need a center, or why didn't we use the center with that money? The value you got getting Ty Jerome with that money is a steal. Okay. If you had to pay the room exception for any of these bigs that are out there, I'm trying to think of the guys we're talking about, like the what's his name?
Yes, guys, with the Houston yesterday. Now. Oh, Capella.
Yeah, I mean
Capella.
If you had paid that kind of money for Capella, that's kind of silly money to spend for a guy like Clint Capella to spend the entire room on him. To get Ty Jerome at that amount and still have several avenues pop open to where you could get a big, I think that I like what the Grizzlies are doing. And this is just day one of free agency. The offseason is really starting to get going, and we still have a lot of avenues to make things happen around the edges on this team. And I'm just really excited about it. Just to see the activity is going to be exciting.
One more on Ty Jerome. Do you envision him sort of pushing Scottie Pippen Jr. down and maybe to a point where Scottie's not needed at some points of the season rotation? Or do you see them playing together on a second unit in terms of off ball, on ball? I mean, what do you sort of see in his impact on Scottie Pippen Jr.? Are they playing together or no?
I think that the playoffs shows you that we've really kind of – one of the things that happened in the switchover from Taylor Jenkins to Tomas Isolo is that Tomas Isolo kind of sees Scottie to be a little bit more of a more diverse player than Taylor Jenkins may have done. I think you'll see a lot of those guys together. You got to remember, man, like Scottie Pippen Jr. was playing the role of wing defender in the playoffs. He was guarding the other team's best player in the playoffs because he was so injured.
Yep.
And he didn't do a terrible job of it. I think you might see roles where you might see all three of your guards like that on the court at the same time, and you probably can get away with it. You might see some lineups to have Ty Jerome and Scottie Pippen Jr. on the court at the same time. I don't want to see a lot of that, but I'm saying you can get away. You can steal minutes like that for sure. I think that Scottie Pippen is a guy that we're discovering that help me with names, bro. You know I'm terrible. The kid with the plays for the Thunder. Ball-headed. That was
ball-headed clip. The young kid? This got to be
white guy.
Caruso. You talking
the
about
white
Caruso?
White dude. Caruso, yeah. He's got some Caruso in him. Scottie Pippen Jr. does, right? He's a guy who's on defensively, he's a playmaker, bro. He will flat out take the ball out of your hands.
He can take the ball out of your hands. Yeah, he ain't 6'4", 6'5".
No.
But yes.
I mean, he's 6'2".
He brings an energy that can be Caruso-ish.
Yeah. He's a heck of a defender in Scottie Pippen Jr. So I think that you can get away. I'm really looking forward to see some of those lineups with Scottie Pippen Jr. and Ty Jerome in the backcourt, with both taking turns being on and off the ball.
Okay, and then do we just use Jay Huff again, or is there still a need in your eyes? And I realize the pickings are getting kind of slim, but we're not looking for a star here. You mentioned it. Some of us are crying about a big, maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not.
Too early.
Is it a deal where you just leave Jay Huff on there, or is there still
No.
Is there a clear need to you, and it needs to be someone more physical than Jay Huff?
I'm going to say the thing I've been saying to everybody ever since the season ended. We have to stop acting like that Zach Kleiman doesn't see the same things we see. Mm-hmm. Like, as a parent, I hate when my kids like say stuff as if I don't see it. Like, you know what I mean? And it frustrates me as a Grizzlies fan when we say things as if Zach Kleiman doesn't realize we need a center. As a matter of fact, he was aware that Zach Edey got hurt before we were, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I think he knows that we need a center coming to the season. And I'll even say I'm not completely sold that Zach Kleiman thinks that Zach Edey is the center to go forward with. I know we talk like that's the absolute truth, but I'm not particularly sure that that's the case. I'm not particularly sure that the Grizzlies weren't in the center shopping business even before Zach Edey got hurt. You know what I mean? I'm not 100% sold that that's the case. I think there's so many ways that you can get a center now. I was listening to John Rosen. He did a little quick Twitter video yesterday. He went live for like 40 minutes last night, and I talked to him on the phone today as well to get more clarity on what he was saying. Something that a lot of Grizzlies fans may not be aware of, because I was personally down. I've personally felt defeated, really, when I heard that we were doing something to eliminate the contract of Cole Anthony, whether that's a stretching wave or buyout or whatever it means, the Grizzlies do that. That still hasn't even happened because everything with Jaren is still agreement in principle. You know what I mean? There's still things the Grizzlies have to iron out to get that done, to get the funds freed up.
Right.
For him and Ty Jerome. But something that that John Roser brought to our attention is with the Cole Anthony deal, he makes about $12 million a year. So if you made a Cole Anthony trade, you'd be trading pretty much even money, something around $12 million, right, for another player that makes around $12 million. And that was something we thought the Grizzlies would do. You'd do Cole Anthony and a first-round pick or something, and you'll get a guy who makes around $12 million. So the Grizzlies would be paying for a lesser player probably in Cole Anthony and giving the incentive of a draft pick to get a better player back in return. That's basic NBA trades, how they work, right? But now that the Grizzlies are above the salary cap but also under the tax level, there another type of deal opens up for the Grizzlies where any player you have on your roster that makes under $7.5 million, you can trade that guy for twice his contract plus $250,000. So in essence, a John Conchar, whose deal is $6 million, can be used as if it was a $12 million deal. So, yes, you bought out Cole Anthony instead of buying out a John Conchar who you thought you were going to eliminate. But now that John Conchar contract has way more value than a Cole Anthony deal is. Why? Because now you can trade that to a team that is trying to cut salary for that John Conchar deal.
Interesting.
You with me?
Yeah, I think I
am. And I think that's dope as, I think that's dope as hell because now you have the leverage. You can call a team like Orlando and say, hey, I know y'all are trying to sign Mo Wagner, right? So run us my guy, Gobo Batazzi, and let's talk business. We'll give y'all John Conchar, or it'll save y'all money. Now y'all can go get your guy, Mo Wagner. Or you can go to other teams that have a $12 million center or a $10 million center, and you can make these type of deals where they can save money with a guy like John Conchar. And if you need to sweeten it with the draft pick, you can do that as well. Also, things that are on the board.
Interesting.
If you're bringing back, I'm really doing my show on you guys' show, but if check out the Anthony Slade show today at 2 p.m. as well. With something else you could do is you're bringing back Santi, right? You're bringing back Santi, you bring back Jaren. You're gonna have Edie at some point during the season, right? And you're gonna get a big. If you have all those guys on the contract, Santi Aldama and Brandon Clark are going to get redundant at some point. Because they're both backup fours.
Yeah.
Yes, Brandon can play the five, but he's a four. You know what I mean? So there could be a deal where you package Brandon Clark and John Conchar, and maybe even a Vince Williams or somebody like that. And you can get another tier of big. You know what I mean? Because you got 12 from Brandon Clark, 6 from John Conchar, and you got maybe 1 to 2 from Vince. So that's like a $20 million deal you have, plus first round picks. So there's a lot of things the Grizzlies can do to get a center. It doesn't have to be a minimum contract guy. It doesn't have to be any of those type of things. You can go out and make a pretty loud move if you want to make one for a center put you in a situation where at that point, when Zach Edey comes back, he's your backup and he's not your starter. So I don't really understand why people are getting super excited about us not using that room exception for a big. Because like I said, guys like Ty Jerome are harder to get than bigs in the NBA. So I'm excited, bro, because like I said, there are 15 guys on the roster, and they clearly know that they have other needs. So you know there's going to be some level of activity to clear these things up. So sign me up for all of them.
Are they? And you'll need Ja Morant to be out there for it to happen. But go ahead.
Let me put an asterisk right there. If Ja Morant ain't give, like we said last week, man, if Ja ain't giving you 65, 70 games,
right,
seems not going to be good. And that's been the case for the last few years, you know what I mean? Like he's gonna have to have a healthy season, and Jaren's gonna have to have a healthy season as well, and both are gonna have to have monster years for the Grizzlies for us to be the team that we expect them to be this year for sure.
Are you and that goes without saying you're gonna need it. Are you better? Would you say Sane with what you've done now and having Jaren locked in and frankly, like you said, maybe a little flexibility now that you've got him locked in in terms of you don't have to keep him in the future. I mean, there can be things, there can be other ways to win. Do you feel like they're better now? Remember that question about, well, you're taking a step back by trading Desmond Bane, and we'll see if you can take the step forward. Where are they to you in terms of where they were when they had Desmond Bane? Like, where does
I think how they'll look when you start playing basketball is, of course, to be determined. I think the framework of the team is better though. I think that they're better. They're built better, especially once they get another big in here. Once they make whatever deal they do to get a big in here, I think that I think the way that the team is built is more suitable for today's NBA. It's going to be a much more stable roster, so to speak. I've been saying this for I know a year on you guys' show that I love Desmond Bane being on this team.
Yep.
I think he's a great player, right. But the fact that you can only have one perimeter defender on the lineup in that starting lineup. It's always going to be to the Grizzlies' detriment. When you're hiding Ja and, Jaren's not a perimeter player. He's a great rim protector, but he's not a perimeter player. Most teams in the league play a forward that's not actually a power forward. It's usually a three that's playing on the four. So you can have a Pascal Siakam who can guard wings at power forward. You can have a Jason Tatum or a Jaylen Brown at the four who can guard wings, right? You can put multiple guys that can defend at a high level. But when you got a Ja Morant, Desmond Bane backcourt, who's ever playing small forward, who's ever playing that three
so
guard spot,
pressure.
Has to be the best defender on the court. Now with Desmond Bane gone, not a knock at Des, but now with the way that they've set up the roster, you can have multiple guys on the perimeter that can play a high-level defense. That's what the Pacers did. That's what the Thunder do in waves. That's what all of the good teams in the NBA are doing. They've got a lead guard that's really good, some 3-and-D guys on the wing, and then, your four and your five. And the way that they're doing things now, I think it has the potential to be really good. I'm going to tell you, man, what could really swing this thing is if Cedric Coward is, anywhere close to being good. Like, if he's good, the Grizzlies can be really good this year. Like, if he comes in and he's a guy that's ready to produce pretty soon, you can see he's a guy that can play defense, plays hard, athletic, knocks down threes. If he's looking like Jalen Wells looked early last year, yeah, this is going to be a good season. Because if he's showing that he's on that trajectory to be a high-level rotation player on this team, they definitely could be better than they were last year. And I think it comes down to that. Excuse me. I also think we're kind of downplaying what Kentavious Caldwell-Pope can be for this team as well. You're talking about a guy who you know is going to be a high-level defender.
Champ.
A lot of the talk about his shooting numbers being down. His shooting numbers were down early in the year. But he got those numbers back. If you look at how he shot the ball in 2025, those numbers are really good. So I expect him to be back being the shooter. I think a lot of stuff that we're saying as far as we can't shoot, I think those things just aren't true. You just picked up the third best shooting percentage in the NBA,
yep.
A guy who's not going to be afraid to take those shots either. And you got I think KCP's going to be able to shoot. Jalen Wells hit a rookie wall, but before then he was shooting the ball really well. I think he's going to have to put in the work this summer to get his body conditioned to get through an 82-game season. And he was shooting the ball very well. If this Coward kid can shoot, that's another shooter you have. Vince Williams shows signs of being a decent shooter. G.C. Jackson shows signs of being a decent shooter. Santi Aldama shot the ball well. He shot the ball well better every season, in the league so far. Jaren's a decent three-point shooter. I don't think we're going to be nearly as bad from three as people might assume.
I'm hoping you're right on that, and I could easily see it playing out that way.
Yeah, I think if all things shake out well, we'll be in that top six range in the West. I think that's our floor. I think if we have anything close to a decent season, I think if just minimal things work out the way they should, you're looking at a top six, probably more towards a top five, top four team in the West.
Even with
the things other teams have done.
Along those lines, I went and looked at FanDuel this morning just kind of see where it's at after all the movement yesterday. They've got Grizzlies as 10th, the 10th shortest odds. I guess you could say that the other way in terms of winning the West. So they got them behind the Spurs at plus 3,000. They got the Grizz plus 5,000 to win it. So they've still got them pretty far down the pack and as a play-in team, but I'm with you. If some things break the right way, especially Coward, maybe that can be better. My question for you, my last thing for you though, Denver did some things and Houston did some things yesterday in terms of Denver. You trade Michael Porter Jr., get Cam Johnson back. You're also bringing back Bruce Brown, who helped you win a championship a couple of years ago. And then Houston with the KD trade, but it's not just that. They get Dorian Finney-Smith, also bringing in Clint Capella to give them some depth in terms. Which of those two teams, which FanDuel's got, what, plus 500 Denver and plus 550 for Houston behind OKC, which of those two teams do you like best in terms of coming back
back
in the next season?
I know Houston's a sexy pick, and I think they're going to be really good. I've got them probably being back at two in the West again, probably. They'll be in that 2-3 range for sure. I love what Houston did this offseason.
Yep.
But Denver, man, hey, picking up Cam Johnson, a guy they've always had a problem with. Goes back to, again, I'm telling you, man, teams are realizing the days of having three scoring guys in your starting lineup, mm-hmm. and one of them can't, and like none of them are like good defenders. Mm-hmm. Those days are over, bro. You gotta have a third. You gotta have another defender out there, man. Yep. And even Denver, who won a championship with Michael Porter Jr., they realize, hey, we love Michael Porter Jr. We've got to get somebody that can, because they've been covering for him. They had Bruce Brown and KCP, you know, when they won the championship,
right? That's right.
They realized that's the method. That's the way to get back to it. Glad to see Bruce Brown get back there. I think getting Cam Johnson is a great pickup for them. That's a super valuable pick that the Nets got in that draft, in that trade as well, man. That's a 2032 pick. When Jokic is going to be 38 years old.
That's true.
They might have hit the nail on the head of when he retires, you know what I mean? At that number, that may be the year that he really, you know, where Jokic, you know, comes to an end. So that's a very valuable pick they got in that deal. But I love what Denver did. They needed a little bit more punch. You saw that when they played against the Thunder. But I love it. I think both of those teams went well. But I think the fact that Denver has that, been there, done that to it.
Yep.
Will help them. Even a guy like Cam Johnson, who has playoff experience. You know, he's been to the finals, you know what I mean? So, and he played well during the playoffs as well. So that Denver team, you talk about a vet team, man. Like, those guys have been there, done that. I could see them having a lower seed than Houston in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but being a better playoff team when it comes down to it.
Milwaukee showed us too, boy. We got something for y'all. Y'all folks that thought Giannis should be demanding a trade. We're gonna surprise you. Trading for Miles
it's
Turner,
so wild,
stretching
man.
Day. That was wild. They had a plan. No wonder Giannis wasn't, you know, screaming, "No, let me go, let me get up out of here." He trusted him,
and I'm starting to think that the whole Chris Haynes thing, you know, Dame, that's Chris Haynes' guy. Like that's their guys. Like, they literally, anything Chris Haynes breaks about Dame, it's because Dame picked up the phone and told him. I don't doubt that Giannis had a conversation with Dame, and he probably told Dame, "Yeah, man, I don't like how they did you." But LeBron also said he didn't know anything about Anthony Davis getting traded, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? That was his man. He acted like he didn't know nothing about it. So just because he had that conversation with Dame, I don't think that particularly means that Giannis is trying to get up out of there, man. I think that Giannis